It's Christmas time. And, you know, Christmas has changed quite a bit, hasn't it? Yesterday, while we were ringing buckets, one of the things Salvation Army offers at some locations is now they have the swipe cards, you know, with the iPhones and things like that. And one of the ladies walked up and she goes, "Do you have a swipe, you know, a swipe phone?" And I said, "No." I said, "Man, I'd really like to have one of those." She goes, "Well, I never carry cash." And I said, "Yeah, me too." And I said, "Maybe next year." But it's just funny. I think back when I was a kid, and one of the Christmases that I remember, anyone here, is stockings a big part of your Christmas? Yeah, I mean, it's huge at our house. If there's not stockings, it's not Christmas. But stockings, I grew up, and stockings were a big thing at my growing up. And if you know me, I tend to take things up a notch. And so one year, in my mind, I thought, you know, my brother started it. He took a tube sock, and for those of you that are too young to remember those are the socks that are like this long. They didn't go above the knee like they do today. It was down here. And my brother, he had this idea. He says, he's going to take a tube sock, and he put a grapefruit in the tube sock, and he swung it around like this and stretched that thing out like that. And so he could get more candy and stuff in there. I thought, that's genius. But not genius enough. So I went and I found, you remember the cardboard rolls that would come inside the wrapping paper? Back when you'd get a real cardboard roll that you could knock someone out with? Today, you can't even sword fight with those things anymore, but I got this one. It was about this big honking thing. And so what I did is I took that, and I took a magic marker, and up at the top I put enter. And then I drew arrows going down, and I tacked that to the mantle, and then I put a box underneath so that they'd put the candy in, and it'd go in the box. You see what I'm doing here? Are you getting it back there? This is yes. She doesn't even know I'm looking at her. This is yes. Now she gets it. And I went to bed thinking Jimmy is going to get a haul. And you know what Jimmy got? Nothing at all. Santa shut me down. But Christmas is so awesome, and all the things that go in, and it's changed so much. But as much as it changes, it's still the same. You know, it's love in motion. It's people giving and receiving, and just, it's awesome. And I saw this, and I just laughed because I don't know. We maybe were there yet. Where's your Christmas? Well, it's on my Facebook page. You can go get that. But all that being said, we also know what Christmas really is. Christmas is the celebration of the arrival of the birth of the King, Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things about Christmas, and this morning, and a lot of really great churches, a lot of really great sermons we'll cover. And one of them is who Christmas is about. Well, it's about Jesus. And some will cover where. It's about Bethlehem, a manger in a small town. And then they'll talk about who. Well, the wise men on their journey and the shepherds coming by night. A lot of wonderful, wonderful accounts. But as I was studying leading up to the holiday season, I was reading one pastor, and I really valued what he was saying. And I said, you know, this year for Christmas, because I'll let you in on a secret. For pastors, Christmas and Easter are the two most difficult messages of the year, because, you know, folks may be there that they may not go to church at their time of the year, and you want to give them something to believe in. You want to give them Jesus, but in a way that might invite them back. And I thought, you know, I want to do this. So this year, I want us to talk about not the who of Christmas, not the where of Christmas, not the group of Christmas, but I want us to spend just a couple of minutes talking about the why. You know, we know that Jesus is the reason for the season, but why would Jesus come? Have you ever asked that question? Why would Jesus come? And the holidays, it's such an amazing time, because whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, or whether you're Jewish or whatever you are, you cannot escape Jesus. It's intertwined into the season. So whether you believe it or not, you can't deny Jesus. And so I begin to think about reasons, and this pastor shared some really great reasons of why Jesus would come. And I just want to share those quickly with you this morning. Well, first of all, Jesus came as a ransom for many. I don't know if you know this. Some of you know me better than others. But one time I was taken captive and held for ransom. Did you know that? Yeah. And today I want to show you a copy of the ransom note. Give us $99 or else. That's not a lot of money. It's a joke. I really wasn't taken captive. You were supposed to laugh because I only wanted $99. Gee. Yeah. Fail. That or they wanted Jared's entire family. His last name's Buck. Yeah, so. Okay, no, I really wasn't taken captive. I was trying to make a funny here. Because if I were taken captive and they only wanted $99, I'm not that valuable. It plays into the message, but you guys have kind of drugged me down now. Maybe we should just say Merry Christmas and walk out. Anyway, we're having fun, right? Mark 10:45 tells us this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Well, we think about a ransom, and you know, that time that I wasn't kidnapped, the ransom wouldn't be that much. Ransom is a very important part of the process. Let's talk about and understand just briefly what ransom is. Ransom, as defined by Webster, says this: the release of property or a person in return for payment of demanded price. So now you see, if I were taken captive, it was only $99. Oh, he's not that valuable. See, it worked. I laughed hard in my study. Thank you. At this point, I'll take whatever I can get. The Bible says that Jesus came to pay a ransom for property that had been taken, but was available for the right price. The price is always determined by the value of the property. You see, if the property isn't that valuable, then the ransom you can ask for the property can't be that high, because the value and the sacrifice must be in parallel to each other. Even we know that. The Bible says that Jesus came to pay a ransom. The question is what is the ransom and for who is the ransom paid? Well, that's a very good question. He goes on, he says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son forth to be born of a woman under the law that he might redeem." Well, we see ransom, that's a price paid to retrieve property that is not the same as redeemed. Remember this, words always matter. Well, what does redeem mean, Jimmy? That's a great question. Webster defines redeem as this: to make something that is bad, unpleasant, etc., better or more acceptable. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to pay a ransom, to buy back a property, and to redeem, to transform something from one state to another state. Well, that's very interesting. And it goes on, if Jesus is the Redeemer, that means there is a need to be redeemed, right? There's no need to have a Redeemer if there's not a need to be redeemed. So the question is if Jesus is a Redeemer, and he is, then what's the necessity and who is it necessary for? The question is who needs redemption and what do we need redemption from? Who needs it? Who needs it and what do we need to be redeemed from? Because we get an idea of being taken from one state to another. It's a great question. You see, I ask great questions when I'm studying. I survey the office. We come up with great. You like that one Friday? That was awesome, wasn't it? If you're not on Facebook, you miss a lot of good stuff. I'm not getting paid by them, but I'm just saying there's some gold out there on Facebook. But in the fullness of time, that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So Jesus came to redeem who? Those who are under the law. Well, great question is what is the law? If you're here today and maybe church isn't a part of your background, or maybe you're new to church, what is the law? What would redeem from the law? Well, let me just give it to you easily because I could keep you a long time. God gave us the Ten Commandments. You remember that? Gave them to Moses. The Ten Commandments were God's expectations for man to live. It was the guidelines by which we live. And if we live inside those, life is better, people are better, society is better, it's good. But inside those, mankind began to build more laws, beginning with good intentions, but eventually it gets kind of ridiculous as we build boxes and boxes and boxes. And the long story made very short is this, is the law is man's effort to redeem himself. You see, man, under the law, says if I do this and don't do this, and I do it well enough and long enough, then God will accept me. Well, that was never God's intent when he gave us the Ten Commandments, that we could earn our way into relationship with God. But man always tries to earn his way. So he said he came to redeem those who were under the law. Well, and that was all of us. That is all of us. And it goes on. Hebrews 2 tells us this. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. And through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. You mentioned the devil at Christmas? Yeah. There really is a devil. And he's not with horns and a pointed tail, although maybe, I don't know, I hadn't seen him. But the Bible says there is a devil. He's an adversary. And he says this, that he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy that which he may. And you know what he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy? The things that God loves the most. So he came. So what we see here is if there's a need of a redeemer, what do we need to redeem from? What's the cause of a redeemer? What's something called death? The Bible says that for the wages of sin is death. It's a spiritual death. Now, it can lead to a physical death. Had the privilege yesterday of serving a family as they laid a loved one to rest. But he's talking about spiritual death. We needed to be redeemed from death. Well, it also says this, to be redeemed from someone to someone. We need to be redeemed from someone to someone, but who is it? The Bible just says that we need to be redeemed from the devil to God. You see, in our world, we may have an employer and we may have a supervisor, but in the spiritual context, there's only two authorities, a holy God and an unholy devil. And one of those two is our master, sometimes chosenly, sometimes passively, but the fact is, in the biblical context, is either God is our master or his adversary is our master. And we need to be redeemed from the possession of the devil into the ownership of God. Now, the question, if you are listening, is this, well, how can I be redeemed? Because I've got to tell you this, the idea of being owned by the devil, I don't like that at all. I don't like the idea of being owned by anybody other than my bride. I like that, okay. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Oh, Jimmy, you said devil and sinners at Christmas. How dare you? Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. I don't know about you, but I don't go see the doctor till I need a doctor. I've got a tooth in the back of my mouth that's half broke. And you know when I'm going to go see the dentist? When it's whole broke. You know why? Because I don't like to see a dentist. Jesus said, I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick to call them to repentance. What does that mean? Well, repentance is this, is the activity of reviewing one's actions, feeling contrition and regret for past wrongs. It generally involves a commitment to personal change. If you want to look at a picture of it, repentance is I'm going this way, and I decide I don't like this way. I don't want to go this way. It's unproductive for me to go this way. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to go this direction. Jesus said that he came to call sinners to repentance, to change our minds, to change our hearts, and to change our pathway. Well, Jesus also came to give us sight. Because the question is how do I know I'm a sinner? And how do I know I don't want to go this direction, but I want to go this direction? It's a very good question, because the Bible tells us that we're spiritually blind. We don't always see things the way we think that we see them. And so Jesus came to give sight to the morally blind. Well, what does that look like? John 9 says this, and Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. What Jesus is offering is the ability to see the contrast in the world between righteous and unrighteous. You see, there was a time in my life when I saw life based on what I thought was right. I actually had my own religion at one time, Jimmyism, from about 19 to 22. That's truth. And you know, the theology of Jimmyism is if it was good for me, it was good. It was a very simple religion. And you could be very lazy in that religion. But you see, there came a time in my life when I realized that I was spiritually blind. And a man told me that if you want to see life for what it really is, not just this life, but for the eternal life, Jesus will give you the sight to see. And on that morning when I gave my life to Christ and received Him as my personal Savior, my eyes were open to see the world as it is, not based on how I feel, but based on how God feels. And needless to say, there needed to be some correction. And that morning, well, afternoon after church, because he preached long. That afternoon, I went home, and I immediately began the process of correction. There were things in my life that needed to be cleaned out, and I didn't know that going in, but because now I could see, oh, man, wow. It started changing, started cleaning out. To see righteous and unrighteous, see godly and ungodly, Jesus came to give sight that we might see. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. You know, I don't have to spend but a second on this, but you know our world has darkness in it. Just open the daily paper, watch the daily news. There's darkness in our world, and Jesus says, I have come to give sight to the blind and to be a light. Light's very important, especially if you're in the dark. Last night, you know, life is such a crazy thing. I loved yesterday. I'm not kidding you. I could have gone for hours. I am thinking about this. Don't go get a tattoo of this. And don't go put a wager on this in Vegas. But I thought to myself yesterday, self, what if we were the first church to go for a 24-hour bell ring? Yeah, huh? Now that's tricking it up. Well, I was on my way home last night, and on the way home, there's an intersection, and you come to a stop, and you take a right-hand turn, and there was a car sitting there, blinkers on, and I look at it, and you know, you get a little, you know, the world's different. There's darkness in the world, and you think twice before you pull up alongside of a car and stop, right? But there's just something. So I pull up, and I put my blinkers on, and I get out. When as I'm getting out, down in the ditch, there's a car that's gone off the road, nose first, and it's all crumpled up, and you know it's a wreck. And there's two people in the car, and you can hear them. You know, they're injured. And I immediately think to myself, you know, okay, well, how can I help? Because there was one other car there, and they were down there talking to him on the phone, trying to get a hold of first responders. And so I immediately get out my cell phone with my flashlight, and I'm going to try to direct traffic so we don't compound the situation. And so I take my flashlight out, and I'm trying to slow cars down, and some people don't slow down. This one guy came by me, and I'm going to tell you, I almost lost my sanctification. Because I may have thought something that wasn't nice. Now, granted, it was 10:30 at night. I was wearing a Santa hat. Standing in the middle of the road with a flashlight doing this. I mean, I had to give the guy some grace, right? He's probably thinking, hey, Grandpa, step away from the eggnog, huh? But you see, light's very important because light gives us a direction. It gives us comfort. It gives us security. And Jesus says that I've come into the world to give them light, that they do not have to be blind. They do not have to grope in the darkness. If they'll look to me, there's a light, not only for this life, but for the life that's to come. Jesus is the light. He's the permanent light. He's the trustworthy light. He's the holy light. Jesus says, I've come that they might have light and not have to remain in darkness. Faith in Jesus gives us light to walk life's pathway. And the pathway of life sometimes has ups and downs and all arounds. Amen? Light always makes it easier to distinguish between right and wrong, safe and unsafe, productive and unproductive choices. When you have light, you oftentimes will make better choices. And Jesus says, I've come to give the world light. Jesus also came to divide households. Now, what's the three things you never talk about? Politics, religion, and there's another one, isn't there? Money. Okay, money. And what's funny is two of those three always go together, whether it's politics or religion, right? You're always going to get around to money. You know, one of the sad truths about Jesus is this. Is Jesus came into the world and does divide households. Now, I am a blessed man. I have seven siblings, and they have kids, and everyone in my family are born-again believers. If Jesus comes today, everyone in my family is going to heaven with me. And you know what? What a gift. There's not a division in my household. There's not a division in my family when it comes to faith. Now, you know, we're like any other family. I don't know what your family's like. Maybe that's not the way it is in your family. But Jesus came, and it says this in Matthew, "Do not think I've come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus and faith and the choice to follow faith will inevitably bring division. Because the world and faith do not stand alongside each other. Now, if you watch the Kid President video on YouTube, which you should, by the way, he said in his most recent video, he says, you know what, you can be disagreeable, but just don't be mean. And you know, church, as we go into our world, the fact is that your faith and the world will not agree. But we, as the people of God, do not have to be mean about it. You see, the world has gotten so accustomed to those who walk under the banner of Christ punching them in the eye, all the more blinding them, instead of simply loving them where they are, speaking truth in love, and more importantly, living the truth that you want to speak, and then realizing this, that the same choice you made and the same choice I made is the same choice they must make for themselves. I cannot intimidate, I cannot argue people into faith any more than I want someone else to be able to argue out of faith. But know this, faith and the world will always have a division. It's okay. It's called contrast. It's not a bad thing. But just know it. And when you come across it, respond to it in love. And he goes on, Jesus came to save from divine condemnation. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We are born captives of sin. We get it naturally. Our spiritual and physical forefathers, Adam and Eve, sinned, and through their sin, we are sinners. The Bible says that we are conceived in sin. The Bible says we are born sinners. And we don't have to teach kids to be disobedient. It comes natural. We train up our children to be obedient. We are born and we are captive to sin. And as we grow, we sin by not doing the things that we should do. And we also sin by doing the things that we should not do. You see, we are all sinners. And in the Hebrew and the Greek, all means all. And by what the Bible says, we are all accountable for divine judgment. Jesus came to save us from that. Jesus came to give us eternal life. There's a lot of debate over eternal life today. But you know this. Our Heavenly Father created us, and He is an eternal being. And my friend, so are you. You will live forever somewhere. Now, we won't live forever in this state, and to that I say amen. But we will live forever one day in an eternal state. And Jesus came to give us eternal life. You see, there's a difference between life and death. The Bible says that eternal life is that we get to spend eternity with heaven in a place called heaven, where the Bible says that there'll be no more cancer. This gentleman yesterday that passed away, cancer ravaged him in 6 months. No more cemeteries. No more house fires. No more car wrecks. I've heard someone say recently, heaven is the eternal hello, where we never say goodbye. The Bible says that we can have that. The Bible also says that if we don't have that, we have the other. Eternal separation from God. The Bible calls it hell. What is that? Well, I'll just let you figure that out. Just think in your mind. Just let the Word produce a picture in your mind. Just know this. Anywhere that I'm not with God is hell. But He came to give us eternal life, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What a great song you guys had. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God has shown us our value. Do you know what the price of your ransom was? Jesus. When the adversary, the devil, took you captive, the ransom was perfection and sinlessness. And as the old story goes, it's a great picture, but it's a terrible story. As God looked all across heaven, He could find only one. Jesus. And God, not sparing His own Son, sent Jesus. You see, Christmas is the Christian bookend. Christmas gives us Easter. God sent His own Son. Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died an atoning death, was resurrected victoriously to give you and me the choice to accept or deny. Wow, what a gift. What a gift. We often get hung up just on the forgiveness side of it, but how about this? God loves us so much that He's paid the ransom. He waits to redeem, but He gives us the choice. Wow. Now that's giving. That, my friends, is Christmas giving. To give a gift that's undeserved, to give a gift that's unwanted, to give a gift that they won't even open. Wow. Now, if that's not love, I don't know what it is. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to save. Jesus came to redeem and to ransom, to give light, to give hope, to give a choice. And as we live our lives of faith, we need to give people that choice. And we need to give them the best evidence that through God and His and Holy Spirit and His written Word, we can give them. But ultimately, the choice is there. I was visiting with a local minister, and he was out trying to meet the needs of our community, and there's a lot of needs in our community. And I'm looking at him, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm thinking this guy is just about to stroke smooth out. And I took him by the arm, and I took hold of him, and I said, you stop a second. He says, okay. I said, I need to say something to you. And he kind of looked at me, he goes, okay, because, you know, what's coming out of my mouth next might be funny and it might be not. You don't know. And I looked at him. I said, no. I said, I need to say something to you. And he goes, okay. That's like me coming to your hospital room in a suit. You probably know things are bad. Yeah. I come in a coat and tie, your hospital room, and go, am I that sick? And I took him by the arm. I said, hey, I need to tell you something. I said, no matter how much you want to, no matter how much you need it, or how much they need it, you, my friend, can't save the world. Only Jesus can save. And you, my friend, can only do the best you can do. And this was his answer. Well, yeah, I know, but I said, no. No. I said, that doesn't work. I said, because you're preaching to the choir, Hoss. I said, I'm telling you this. All you can do is all you can do. And you leave the saving up to God. He says, can you call and tell me that about every hour? I said, I can if you'll answer your phone. My friends, as we go out into the remainder of our holiday season, remember this. Jesus came to give mankind the choice of redemption. He has given us light. He has given us the ransom. He has given us the hope of heaven. But we each must choose. Our responsibility is to present Christ in as best a light as we can. And then we leave the rest to God. So today, before we step aside, I just simply ask you this question. What have you done with God's gift? God loves you so much that He spared not His own Son. And He would love to have relationship with you. And the truth is I can't imagine a better time than Christmas time. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, why not today? I'm not asking you to join this church, and I'm not asking you to give a dollar to anything. I'm simply asking, would you trust Jesus today? Would you receive that gift that God has given to you? And much like me, so many years ago, let God prove to you what He says is true. The day I gave my life to Christ, I told that preacher, I said, you tell me God loves me the way I am? He says, yes, but He loves you enough to not leave you the way you are. I said, you tell me God can live my life better than me? Yes. I said, well, I want to trust Jesus today, and I want Him to prove to me what you say is true. Satisfied customer of Jesus Christ. 27 years. Ooh, that hurts a little. My friends, God is trustworthy.